Robert Louis Stevenson once said, "An aim in life is the only fortune worth finding, and it is not to be found in foreign lands, but in the heart itself." A definite chief aim, a purpose, a reason for living, goals. All these things would be without value unless we had the ability to implement them. How would it be if you could dream but not demonstrate those dreams? But we do have that ability, and this class has but one purpose, and that is to help each one of us here discover our purpose for living and to help each one of us set new and more perfect goals, and then to give each one of us the tools and the momentum to achieve these goals, to demonstrate them here and now in our own living experience. It was interesting this last week that several of you came up to me and asked if I had read the current issue of Success Unlimited magazine, because you said that I've been saying some of the things that are in this issue. And I said, no, I had not read it, and so you immediately provided me with this issue. And it really was interesting. One of the articles was entitled "The Power of Purpose," or "The Power of a Definite Chief Aim." This article was written by Dr. Dennis Waitley, who is a behavioral psychologist with a background in psychosomatic medicine, which is the study of the relationship between the mind and the body and how each of these, the mind and the body, affect each other. And Dr. Waitley said, ulcers, for example, are not so much the result of what we eat as of what is eating us. And he said, arthritis and bursitis are often more associated with rigid and mentally restrictive individuals. And that asthma is more pronounced in a child, especially an only child, or the youngest child, who has been the recipient of too much smother love. And the best relief for this kind of asthma is a simple parentectomy, or the removal of the parent from the child, or of that strong negative influence from the person. And then they can begin to breathe more easily again. And he said that he has seen thousands of men and women and boys and girls who have sealed their own fates by their self-talk. Listen to a person talk. Listen to the stream of words and mental pictures that they're creating, and feel the energy that is back of those words, and you will see that they have sealed their own fate. And it is not only the words that you speak. Listen to the language, the conversation that you have going on inside your head almost any moment. Have you heard it recently? Listen carefully, and it will tell you where you're going. And he said that he has become absolutely awed by the truth and power of the self-fulfilling prophecy. You indeed become what you most imagine or fear. You bring to pass what you suspect, and you become what you expect to be. Dr. Waitley gives W. Clement Stone a great deal of credit for his own spiritual growth. And he talked about the fact that Dr. Stone had referred to his four-step process for achieving goals as simply R2-A2. Do you remember in Star Wars R2-D2, the little robot that everybody loved that went creeping around? And well, R2-A2 simply means to recognize, to relate, to assimilate, and to apply. These are the four steps in making your demonstration in life. To recognize is to accept the validity of invisible principles or laws, and to begin to relate the spiritual laws or powers, connecting them with our own personal situation. And then to assimilate, meaning to absorb and understand these laws in our own mind, and to apply, meaning to practice these principles in all of our personal affairs. R2, A2, to recognize, to relate, to assimilate, and to apply. Dr. Whately asked, what kind of goals are you committed to? Remember that what you get is what you set. And if you do not set your goals, then that's what you get, the status quo. And he confirmed what I've been telling you, that we are only limited by the boundaries of our own imaginations and to the application of the principles being implemented in our personal experience. Let me repeat a very powerful statement to you. To the degree that we can assimilate any purpose, that's a goal or a definite chief aim, to the degree that we can assimilate any purpose into our very being with words, vivid images, and intense emotion, the application of that purpose results daily in almost automatic achievement. And your goals and chief aim become an inner commitment, a magnificent obsession. When you take this principle of R2, A2, and working with your own goals, your own chief purpose, in time it will become a magnificent obsession that will prove itself daily and in time will implement itself in an almost effortless way. Do you remember earlier in this series of lessons that I was stressing the importance of creating and using an image book? Do you recall the image book session? Well, yesterday, a very dear friend walked into my office and said, Jack, I want you to see this. And he proceeded to show me his image book. Now, it just so happened that I was with him the night that he began to form this image book. It was 2 years ago when Karen Boland held her first image book class in the fellowship area, and there were about 125 people. We couldn't all get into the fellowship area. There were about a handful of men. Most of the people there were ladies. And here was Don, amidst all these ladies, cutting out paper dolls and affirmations. And I'll tell you, the paper was just flying. He really was working at his image book. And so he wasn't just showing me his image book. He knew that I had seen it. But he said, I want you to look at this, Jack. Everything that's in this book has been accomplished. You see, it has become a magnificent obsession with him because he's worked with it. He has not just let it lie. He has used this book to achieve that mental imagery, and he's used the words, has spoken those words, and has put great feeling into those words. Now, I must tell you that not too long before January of 1977, Don had started a new life as an hourly employee pushing a broom, sweeping out parking lots in apartment complexes. That's how he was earning his living. Now, one of the pages that he put in this image book is a page that shows an office, an executive suite. And it says it's not just a job, it's an adventure. This man went to work for a company as an hourly employee. This month, he has been elected a vice president, is being moved to Cleveland. And when he got there to examine his own private office, it turns out to be an executive suite almost identical to the picture in his image book, even to the color that is there. How do you like that? It's not just a job, it's an adventure. How did I change, he said, from a plain before to a beautiful after? The answer, I put my life in the hands of God, the intelligent way to go. Wow, I am a sensational giant. You see, it really does work. When your goals become a magnificent obsession that you have given flavor and shape and color and feeling to, they will come to pass. They must, they cannot fail. Do you remember in our last session, I talked to you about second force and promised you that before the week was over, it would hit you somewhere between the eyes or in the solar plexus. It would come to you that it's very cunning and baffling and powerful. And I see some of you smiling because it has arrived. Yesterday morning, I had an urgent call from a student in this class, a young man who has been working intensely in a very dedicated way in this matter of setting his goals and changing his life. He's written out his goals, and he has his image book, and he's been using it with intense emotion. But suddenly, this week, it seemed that his life was falling apart, and his insides were falling apart, too. He was depressed and upset because things that simply should not happen to him were happening to him. And he called me and said, "What's wrong? My life is coming unglued, and I don't know what to think about it." Before he could get here late in the afternoon, he saw that his life wasn't falling apart, that it really was falling together, that all the work that he has been doing is working so that some things that had to go were being taken away. Now, he was trying to hold on to them and crying desperately, saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" But he saw that he has more options and offers than he has ever had in his life before. His goal-achieving demonstration is working. Life was just making room for the new to appear by eliminating the old. And that second force was his fear, his mental resistance that was trying to keep him locked into a comfort zone. And while we were talking, I had a long-distance call from a very successful lady who lives on the West Coast. And she got turned on to spiritual principles through the prosperity cassette lessons that we did in a former class. And incidentally, those prosperity lessons and mastermind principle cassette lessons are available from our own cassette department. At any rate, my friend, the very successful lady, recently came up with a very beautiful idea that is marketable, very marketable. And she had entered into a manufacturing process with the ultimate plan of marketing this very exciting product. And she began to run into a series of failures. The idea was great, but her venture was not very successful. In fact, this venture had cost her many thousands of dollars, draining her capital and her energy. And she was really upset when we started talking. But we were no sooner into the conversation than I could see that what was missing was the mastermind principle. And an active participation in a strong mastermind group would have, in all probability, prevented the problem that she is currently experiencing. She got into something over her head. She had other options that she could have taken. But she thought that she could do something that she could not do. And because she did not have the advice of other competent people, she stepped off into water that was above her head. Now, there will be a solution to it, but the first thing that she's going to do is to form her mastermind group and find her way back to solid ground again. In his inspired book, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill wrote, "The mastermind may be defined as coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose." And he went further to say that no individual may have great power without availing himself of the mastermind. If you will look back over your life, you will see that most of your spiritual experiences have been disconnected from your life. They've been like sunsets that have been filled with joy and beauty, but had no particular direct connection with your living experience. Beautiful moments here and there that you did not connect to goals or to the need to achieve success in your experience. And so what I'm saying to you is, because I agree with Napoleon Hill, that great power can be accumulated through no other principle. Great wisdom cannot be expressed in any other way, on a continuing basis, in terms of one's own personalized needs. If you will analyze the record of any person who has accumulated a great fortune or even a small fortune, or anyone that has made a significant contribution to life in any way, you will find, if you will look behind them, that they have either consciously or unconsciously employed the mastermind principle. It's there. Now, if you know what you're doing, if you practice the mastermind principle consciously, even greater power comes into expression. My friends, poverty and failure need no assistance. You don't have to help them because they are bold and ruthless, and they are continually grasping at our hearts and experiencing in our lives. But riches and success are shy and timid, and they have to be attracted, worked with, and supported. In these early lessons, you've been instructed in how to set and organize a system of goals. And by goals, I mean all of the things that your heart desires to do or to have or to be for the rest of your life. You've been shown how to transform those goals into image and word symbols in a form that your mind can accept and will accept, and that will then become your definite chief aim. And you've been instructed in the absolute necessity for creating in your mind the feelings that are the equivalent of how you would feel if your goals were already fulfilled. As a matter of fact, how would you feel? How would you feel if all of your goals were already fulfilled? Let's take a moment and feel it. Get the feeling going right now. Let's get into the experience of the excitement of the absolute ecstasy that would be alive in your heart if a dozen miracles had occurred in this very hour in your life. How would you feel? And feel it. Did you know that the voltage went up in this room by about 100,000 volts in that moment? Now, in this lesson, you will be instructed in the most important step that you have yet taken in the achievement of your goals and in the attainment of the success in life that is not only natural for you, but necessary if you wish to be a fulfilled person. As a spiritual being, you must demonstrate success. Not success as I would define it, but success as your own spirit defines it. This lesson will be your introduction into the electric secret of the mastermind principle. And I strongly suggest that you prepare yourself to associate yourself with a group of special people of your choice for the specific purpose of creating the energy and the intelligence field that will form and implement a planned course of action that cannot fail to work through you to achieve your goals and your definite chief aim in life. Now let me repeat again. Compliance with the mastermind principle is absolutely essential, so do not neglect it. I would also suggest that you seek an association with people who will tell you the truth about yourself, even and especially if it hurts you to hear it. Mere praise will not bring the improvement that you need. A person is already half defeated the minute that he begins to feel sorry for himself. And if you and I are left to our own devices to make our own demonstration, the time will come and we will feel sorry for ourselves. And we will begin to spin an alibi with which we would explain away our defects and why we have not made our demonstration. So if you have formed the right mastermind group, you simply cannot get away with this. Do not belong to any mastermind group that will join you in settling for the status quo, or will let you explain away mediocrity, or who will let you overpower them or con them into believing that you are doing better than you really are doing. If you belong to a mastermind group that will permit you to do that, quit them immediately and say to them, I would not belong to any mastermind group that would have a person like me as a member. Now, before forming your Mastermind Alliance, it is important that you decide what benefits that you're going to offer the individual members in your group in return for their cooperation. It is more important for you to understand what you're going to give them than for you to understand what they're going to give you. You're going to get yours from them. But are you sure that they're going to get theirs from you? No one will be involved indefinitely without some form of compensation. And in this universe, there is no such thing as something for nothing. And we work together in a spirit of mutual advantage and cooperation. It is extremely important that you understand that you must maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your Mastermind group. The Mastermind group consciousness is canceled immediately whenever any inharmony begins to exist. And I can promise you that if you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you will expect to meet with failure because it will happen to you. And if you've been a member of a Mastermind group and it isn't working successfully for you, check within yourself, because the fault that it has not worked may be within you. The Mastermind principles always work when we are working in the spirit of harmony. And you may find that you may not believe in the concept, or you may not believe in one of your members. The Mastermind principle simply cannot function where perfect harmony does not prevail. A Mastermind may be created through the bringing together or the blending in a spirit of perfect harmony two or more minds. And these two minds coming together seem to form a third mind, which may be appropriated and used by one or all of the individuals involved. But it is not that you create a third mind. You establish a contact with the universal mind and infinite presence that has always been there, but undetected by the individual working alone. Remember that this mind, this mastermind, will remain available as long as the friendly, harmonious alliance between the individual minds exists. But the moment that harmony does not exist, the mastermind will disappear just like that. For the simple reason that in this magnificent universe, there is complete and perfect harmony from one side of it to the other side. A billion light years from here, nothing but perfect harmony exists. And it cannot and it will not tolerate inharmony from any one of us. It will absolutely disconnect itself and withdraw from us. Now, it must not be assumed that a mastermind will immediately spring or mushroom forth out of every group of individuals who come together under the pretense of cooperation in a spirit of harmony. No group of minds can be blended into a mastermind if one of the individuals in that group possesses any negative, repelling thoughts. Now, I don't mean that you have to be perfect all the time. You know the kind of negativity that I'm talking about. Somebody that refuses to get fixed. They like it that way. They're not going to be changed. If that kind of person is a member of your mastermind group, one of you needs to go immediately. And lack of knowledge of this fact has brought many a sincere person to defeat, thinking that the principle doesn't work. And it does work. Harmony is one of nature's laws, and without harmony, there's no such thing as organized energy or organized intelligence or organized spiritual activity can come to pass. And harmony is the nucleus around which the mastermind develops power, and if you destroy this harmony, you've destroyed the power growing out of the coordinated effort of a group of individual minds. You can see this in many examples. For example, a marriage is supposed to be a perfect mastermind relationship, and frequently is in the beginning. But let one of the partners begin to nag, to complain, to become negative or depressed. What happens? Let one try to overpower the other over a period of time, and the spirit of cooperation and that feeling of love and of excitement that was originally there is gone. Have you ever worked in a company, in an office, or for an organization in which one or more people worked with you at your level, people who were extremely negative. You have, haven't you? You know what it does to the consciousness of the group. And you've often wished that management would do something. Get them out of here. They are destroying the harmony of the office. And in time, you reach the place that you simply don't want to be there. Henry Ford's gigantic success can be traced to the successful application of this very same principle. Henry Ford had all of the self-reliance that a person could have. But he did not depend upon himself for the knowledge necessary to move forward into the successful development of the original idea that was his. He understood something, and like Andrew Carnegie, he surrounded himself with men who supplied and then implemented the knowledge which he himself did not and could not possess. Henry Ford picked men who could harmonize in a group effort. It's a known fact that Henry Ford began his business career under the handicaps of poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance. And if you examine him on the basis of facts in the beginning of his experience in that garage downtown, there simply was no way for the events that were to later occur to come to pass. They could not happen with what he had working for him. Now, within the inconceivably short period of 10 years, Henry Ford had mastered these three major handicaps, and within 25 years, he had made himself one of the richest men in America. Now, connect this fact with the additional knowledge that Mr. Ford's most rapid strides became noticeable from the time that he became a personal friend of Thomas A. Edison. And then you'll begin to understand the influence that one mind can have upon another mind. Then go a step further and consider the fact that Mr. Ford's most outstanding achievements began from the time that he formed the acquaintanceship of Harvey Firestone, John Burroughs, and Luther Burbank. And here you will see the magnificent demonstration that comes to pass when giants come together. This principle is available to you. It's available to every one of you. And in your own life, you can make the same relevant demonstration in your own experience. There is a supermind, a mastermind, a superconsciousness. It just happens to exist. And we live and move and have our being in it. Jesus Christ, the master teacher, did not perform a miracle until a short time after he had formed his own mastermind group, calling forth of the 12 disciples. He formed a mastermind alliance, and then began the amazing series of events that were to follow. And in time, all of his mastermind partners accomplished each of the miracles that he himself accomplished. Did you know that? There was nothing that he did that in time they did not do. They made demonstrations of the same order and equal to his. And this is a recorded fact. Don't take my word for it. It's there. You are equal and have been told to practice the same principles so that those demonstrations that are important, relevant to you in your life today, can come to pass. The Christ consciousness is the mastermind. It's the mind in you that knows all things and is able to accomplish all things because it is the mind of God in every one of us. Every person on this earth has access to the mastermind, but the vast majority of the people do not know that they can contact this superconsciousness, and the very few who begin to suspect that they can establish a conscious contact with the mastermind do not know how to make their personal connection with this guardian spirit that lives within themselves. Did you know that all genius is the result of a person being in touch with this fourth dimension of wisdom and power, and that you are a genius discovering yourself? It might be difficult for you to believe it, but it's true. That's the major problem in experiencing genius You don't believe it. Genius does not come from you, it comes through you. And Webster defines genius as exceptional or transcendent intellectual and creative power. Genius, the word, comes from a Latin word meaning guardian spirit. And you have within you that guardian spirit that I call the mastermind. The power that molds and makes. And man is mine, and evermore he takes the tools of thought, and shaping what he wills brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, but it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. God is the mastermind, an infinite and responsive presence, both visible and invisible. One presence, one mind, one power is all, and this one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. You and I are individualized expressions of God, and we are ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance, but how to establish our conscious contact? I suggest that those of you who do not have the cassette lessons on the Mastermind Principle, that you get them, because there are 3 hours there of instructions on how to form and work with a mastermind group. And tonight we have just a few minutes to discuss this magnificent principle. So our time is limited here, but you can get the lessons and explore them in depth. You've been given as instructions, guidelines for a mastermind group. Now, having selected one or more mastermind members, how does a mastermind group function? First, you need to remember that the purpose of participating in a mastermind group is to establish a conscious contact with the universal spirit so that all members can experience an increased awareness of that spirit and a demonstration of its power in their lives, knowing that it is the mastermind that is working in them and through them. A mastermind meeting is not designed for members to solve each other's problems, and it is not a place that you go and discuss your problems at length. As a matter of fact, you go into a mastermind meeting so that you can be elevated into the consciousness of the solution. You're lifted out of the consciousness of the problem. This is not to say that you do not state that you have a problem, but you do not go there to dwell in it. And the chairman of the mastermind group will not let any of the mastermind partners dwell in the problem or become conversational. If you get into a conversation in your mastermind meeting, you're back down into the third dimension. And this is a fourth dimension experience. You want to be lifted out of normalcy into a supernatural, a supernormal state. And we're here to turn problem areas, needs for healing. Our chief aim and all of our goals over to the mastermind. The ideal size of the mastermind group is from 2 to 6 members, and you can meet anywhere, your home, a restaurant, your office. There should be a short sharing time at the outset to really get your spirit going, but as little conversation as possible, because you want to get into the flow of the feeling of that spirit. One person acts as a leader and opens the meeting by reminding the group that there is a mastermind and taking charge of the consciousness of that group. And that leader, a chairman, then leads each member of the group through each of the steps one at a time. So that with step one, each member of the group verbally, orally expresses their reaction to step one. And then when that's completed, then step two and step three and step four through the group, so that with the acceptance of each step, the consciousness of the group begins to be elevated. And if you've never had this absolutely magnificent experience, I urge you to become a part of a mastermind group, to feel the power, the electricity, the dynamic changes that will take place in you, that will lift you up into that fourth dimension of timelessness and spacelessness, so that you get insights into things that you cannot perceive in your normal state. For 25 years, I participated in this mastermind group experience, and I can tell you that I would not be standing here tonight talking to you if I had not discovered it many years ago. All of the good things that have happened to me in my life have been the direct result of the mastermind technique, the mastermind principle, consciously and deliberately practiced in my own experience. In step number 5, as each person expresses his need, usually concentrating on one goal or need at a time, remember that the mastermind is not limiting itself to just that one need. 1,000 miracles will be taking place, most of which have been unasked for. Before you have called, I have answered, says the Spirit. But Jesus Christ was constantly making specific requests and specific demonstrations so that all around him could see the power of this magnificent intelligence working in an individualized and personal way in the lives of people. And that's what we're required to do. And it simply cannot be done by one person working alone as well as it can be done by a group. Together we can believe things that I cannot possibly believe by myself. And you can believe things for me as a group that I would not dare. And we can believe for you in a way that far surpasses your individual ability. The 7 steps into the mastermind consciousness are outlined. And the first one is surrendering, the admission of personal powerlessness. And this is where the ego resists because it wants to be in charge. And the first step into the 4th dimension is the surrendering of the 3rd dimension. The 2nd step is believing. I now come to believe that there is a creative intelligence and power responding to me. In the 2nd step, we're not saying that we believe that God exists. We come into the dynamic experience of a now moment in which, as a group, we believe that God is responding. The activity of God, the love of God, the attention of God is upon us all. In the 3rd step, we decide again to place ourselves completely under the influence of the mastermind. In the 4th step, this is the honesty step. We release all of our mistaken judgments and negative emotions that we've directed toward ourselves or others. This is where we get honest with ourselves, willingly admitting that it has been our own limiting thoughts that has caused the problem, if it has existed. And we become willing to examine why the problem exists and to be shown a better way of solving it than we have yet believed in. The 5th step, each member takes a turn and speaks directly to the group and to the mastermind about any problem area, healing need, goals, or special project that's important to that person. And while that person is asking for guidance and for help, each member of the mastermind group gives that person their full and complete and loving attention. And in your mastermind alliance, this will be one of the most beautiful, one of the dearest moments of your life when, with these people that you love and respect, you give them your full and complete attention and cooperation. When you cause your mind to believe as it has never, ever believed before, that God, the Spirit of Life, the Mastermind, is responding to them in that moment. You believe above your belief. You believe more for them than they could possibly believe for themselves. And you know that your belief is the channel through which the miracle is taking place. You know it, and it happens as you know it. In the 6th step, we gratefully receive, we give thanks. Not just the word, but we complete the covenant. Before the earth was formed, a covenant was made wherein that the Creator of all life has said, I will never leave you, I will never desert you, I will always be there and I will respond to you, and that's my contract with you. But all contracts require an agreement by 2 parties. And your part of the contract is to believe it. Is to believe it so completely now that you will feel and act and think that it is already done, so much so that you will thank me before you see it. That's your covenant. The feeling of the wish fulfilled to the point that gratitude really explodes as words and as a feeling. And the seventh step is the dedication of my life now to go out and live working with the master mind, walking, feeling, breathing, and thinking with a spirit of enthusiasm and excitement and expectancy. Because it has already been agreed that the mastermind shall supply me with an abundance of all things necessary to fulfill my every need without me making any of these things the object of my existence and to walk in peace. Does it work? I wish I could share with you the scores of letters that have come back to me from all over this country since these Mastermind Principle tapes went out. And most of them are letters from people who had to work to find out what the address was. Here's one example that just came in. Dear Jack Boland, what a dynamic thing the Mastermind Principle is. I thank you so much for sending such a powerful message. It has given me much more faith and strength and energy than I ever believed possible. Boy, the energy that my Mastermind group and I generate is absolutely amazing. I know it works. This Mastermind Principle has given me such a great opportunity to give myself to the fantastic cause of completing my life. I did not know that my life was not complete. And now I have a chance to be fulfilled. If you are ever in my part of the country, please feel free to drop by and see what wonderful things are happening here. Sincerely. Fantastic. Genius means transcendent intellectual creative power. And the word transcend means to go up or be beyond the usual limits, to outstrip or outdo in some attribute, quality, or power. Would you like to do that? Transcend means to cross or climb over as all obstacles in your path, all second force. You see, if you're in a mastermind group, second force does not exist. You see why a mastermind group is so important? It will dissolve second force. It will dissolve the resistance that would normally be in your life. Transcend means to cause to rise or go upward, to elevate or raise, to excel, to surpass, to exceed the former, to escape classification in any accepted category, and to transcend beyond the limits of experience and knowledge, to go beyond any experience, any condition, any circumstance that has ever prevailed in your life before. And this is the promise. Herbert Spencer wrote, "Among the mysteries which become more mysterious the more they are thought about, there will ever remain the one absolute certainty that we are ever in the presence of an infinite energy from which all things proceed." And Johann Wolfgang von Goethe wrote, "A mystic bond of brotherhood makes all men one. The mastermind, fellowship. With each other, yes, but together we transcend our human nature. And together we rise above the limitations of the past and experience an infinite love and energy from which our future good proceeds." And that's the way it really is.